It is a State Capitol Report on the Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We examine litigation now, challenging the State Department of Natural Resources' authority to limit the release of manure from large farms that could end up in Wisconsin's waterways and in our drinking water. You can be part of the discussion about these regulations. Call in with a question, share a comment at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Sarah Walling is Water and Agriculture Program Director at Clean Wisconsin. Sarah, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Good morning. The law firm affiliated with the Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce suing the DNR and saying the department lacks authority to regulate large animal farms. Can you explain what the litigation argues?
Sure. So the Manufacturers and Commerce's Litigation Center is representing the two different dairy interest groups in our state, the Wisconsin Dairy Alliance and Venture Dairy Cooperative. And in their lawsuit, they are challenging the legality of the DNR's rules that oversee and provide the regulatory oversight to our state's largest livestock operations. And those are the ones that house about 1,000 animal units. And so for a dairy farm in our state, that means that they have over 750 milking cows on their facility. So farms of that size are generally referred to as concentrated animal feeding operations, or CAFOs. And this lawsuit challenges the DNR's authority to require those operations to apply for and receive a permit to operate once they hit that 1,000 animal unit threshold.
And so how does the state regulate large animal farming operations? What is the status there on CAFOs?
Sure. So the requirement to apply for and receive a permit happens at that 1,000 animal unit threshold. And the problem is that this permit is much more than just a piece of paper giving them the approval to be there and operate. The permit requires the farm to meet a set of standards for how the facility is constructed and how it operates, including how the vast amount of manure that they're generating is being managed. So how it is being stored, how and when and how much is being spread on the crop fields and whatnot. And those standards are there and intended to reduce the contamination that can be caused by manure runoff into our groundwater or surface water. So we're talking about nitrogen and phosphorus contamination here, but also certainly pathogens that can be carried within that animal manure. So what these dairy groups are instead trying to come with this lawsuit is to challenge whether or not DNR has the ability to require them to receive one of these permits.
So the permits requiring these farms that are large to get their manure storage and spreading systems approved by the DNR, why do you think this is necessary for the DNR to be that involved in how an operation is handling this aspect of the dairy farm?
Well, the sheer number of animals that we're talking about when it comes to a CAFO, even at that very smallest level of 1,000 animal units, means that they're generating around 5 million gallons of manure each year. And that manure is being stored for long periods of time, usually in manure storage lagoons, and then being spread during certain windows of the year when the crops are off the field so that they can get in there and apply the manure. Now, manure is intended to be a really great nutrient source, but the problem is that when it's applied incorrectly or too much or at the wrong time, that's when issues can arise. And with this volume of manure that's being generated, you know, it's in our residents' best interest for our DNR to have some oversight and understanding of how those farms are operating, what they're doing with that manure, and making sure that they're utilizing it properly to reduce all of those potential impacts to groundwater and surface water systems.
You mentioned that the animal waste being stored in these lagoons or in these open ponds, is that a secure place for manure, or where does that ultimately end up if it's not spread on the fields?
Sure. So the majority of our largest farms do have these manure storage lagoons, and while there certainly have potential for them to be to overflow during times when they're too full, et cetera, there's a lot of precautions that are taken to when the construction of these systems to ensure that the leakage is is it a minimum? However, you know, the majority of manure is being land applied at certain times of the year. And so it's extremely important for the farm to really understand what their crop needs are, where they should go, where they need to avoid. So those nutrient management plans that govern the farm's application of manure over the course of a crop season are extremely important. And that's a huge component of what the permit process requires for these farms to operate.
Are all CAFOs operating under nutrient management plans? Are those plans filed or you know, how does that work?
Yes. So currently there are 336 CAFOs that are permitted in the state. 74 of those are currently operating under an expired permit that needs to be reissued by the DNR. And 304 of those are CAFOs are dairies, and the rest of them are a combination of swine, poultry, and then beef cow CAFOs. They're in 62 of our 72 counties across the state. So this is, in fact, very much a statewide concern and issue. But when the DNR provides that permit, the process includes everything from, you know, plans and specifications that the DNR really looks at very closely to make sure that the facilities, the barns and the processing, the wastewater storage and handling systems are all constructed properly and being operated correctly. They also have to develop a response plan that is there in case a manure or a non-manure spill should happen so that they are prepared to deal with that reality. And then that nutrient management plan includes the manure that's, you know, being spread. It has to be spread in certain distances away from drinking water wells and sinkholes and fractured bedrock. Liquid manure can't be applied in frozen or snow-covered ground situations. Solid manure can't be spread in the similar situations. So it's very important that the farm really takes a very comprehensive look at how they're going to be handling that manure to make sure that it's done in the most possible, you know, the safest possible way.
It sounds very detail-oriented, plans like this.
They can be, that's for sure. And as the farm gets bigger, they get more complicated. Mm-hmm. And that's the reality of, you know, of large scale agriculture, animal agriculture in our state. And as such, you know, we believe that nutrient management plans and this permit process are extremely important to the oversight of these largest farms.
Sarah Walling with us, Water and Agriculture Program Director at Clean Wisconsin, as we talk about a lawsuit challenging our state's ability to regulate large animal farms. You can join in the conversation, call in with a question, share a comment at 800-642-1234. Sarah, Clean Wisconsin wants these regulations to remain, as you just pointed out, but could the regulations be eased in any way to relieve the burdens on these farmers?
Well, I think there's certainly opportunities to take a look at the permit system that we have in place and identify where there's opportunities to streamline things or reduce some of the, you know, the bureaucratic burden of the process. However, you know, this is not extremely different than what our neighboring states are doing relative to permitting for their largest animal feeding operations, too. So Minnesota has a state level system that is quite similar, similarly in Michigan, Ohio. So while they might not have the WPDS permit, which is the specific one that we use here in Wisconsin, they all have something very similar, which includes a great deal of the same level of oversight and complexity that our state process and program provides.
Can you explain what risks large animal farms pose to water resources?
Sure. Well, it's, you know, the issues with manure are there, whether, you know, small, medium, and large farms. However, again, the amount of manure that we're talking about with these large farms really is what makes it more complicated. There's just a lot of manure that's being stored. And so during about 4 to 5 weeks, 6 weeks, maybe in the spring, and then similarly in the fall is when the majority of that manure is going out. And the time periods that that manure is being applied, especially in the spring, data from many different researchers at the university and Discovery Farms have identified that that's the riskiest time of the year to put it out, because we do get those really quick, flashy spring rains that have a tendency to, you know, wash things off of especially steeper fields. And so making sure that the manure is being applied at the right rate, the right time, the right method is all extremely important. And, you know, it sounds complicated and it's not, you know, certainly not simple, but it's really not undoable either. And many, many of our farms are already engaging in this, whether they're small, medium, or large farms. And this permit system that's being challenged through this lawsuit really just provides the structure of oversight for those largest farms to make sure that the DNR really understands what they're doing, how they're operating, and between them and land conservation department staff at the county level can assist the farms in making sure that they're making the right decisions about what to do with this manure nutrient and use it to the best of its ability without really risking the impacts to our surface water and groundwater systems.
When you say they're small, medium, and large farms, is it an accurate assumption then that we single out CAFOs, that we assume that CAFOs cause pollution?
Well, there's a recognition through the Clean Water Act that these largest farms do have the potential to discharge. And so there's a lot of, constructs in place around the EPA's process that we implement at the state level. And that's the permit system that is being somewhat challenged here. But again, the amount of manure we're talking is really what makes it the most challenging and the most risky for our public and environmental health concerns, because we're talking, one CAFO can generate as many as 5 million gallons of manure each year. And that is essentially untreated. It goes into these manure storage lagoons, sits there for several months until the time is right for them to be able to take some out and apply it to the fields. And so because it's so much, it takes a great deal of land base to be able to apply this manure properly, that it can be challenging to do that and to find the right times and the right openings and the right places. And so the program really is intended to make sure that there is that oversight and that, CAFOs understand all the constructs underneath which they need to operate. It's really important just to setting sort of a level playing field for them. And, this, in many ways, we're not treating CAFOs any differently than we are any of our other large industrial waste generating industries in the state. Our wastewater treatment plants that treat human waste certainly have to have these types of permits. Everyone from food processors, paper mills, et cetera, all of those big industries also have to have pollution discharge system permits. And they might look a little different because it's industrial waste and not manure, but the construct is the same. Hmm. And so in reality, we're really not treating these large farms that are generating huge quantities of a waste product any differently than we are operators in those other types of industries in the state.
Other types of settings. Sarah Walling directs the Water and Agriculture Program at the Environmental Justice Group Clean Wisconsin, looking at litigation about regulating manure discharge on farms to protect water. Call in with a question or a comment, 800-642-1234. This is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is the State Capitol Report on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The litigation arm of Wisconsin's largest business group sues the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources on behalf of dairy farms and rules to keep manure out of waterways. Sarah Walling leads the Water and Agriculture Program at Clean Wisconsin and stays with us. Let's take a call now. Dina joining us near Keeler. Dina, hi. What would you like to add?
Hi, I lived in Iowa for over 20 years. My father-in-law ran a third-generation farm outside of Cascade, Iowa. And Wisconsin basically adopted Iowa's CAFO siting rules. And anyone familiar with what's happened in Iowa knows that Iowa's waterways have become toxic. They're dumping water into the Mississippi River that's affecting all the folks downstream in New Orleans. Art Cullen and his brother published a whole investigative series on the issues known as Storm Lake and won a Pulitzer Prize for it. Nothing has changed. A recent book called Swine Republic has been published by Chris Jones, a former professor from Iowa State, that looks at the issues. These things are not being regulated properly. It's nice to talk about it. But there's a CAFO right outside of Stitzer, Wisconsin, that it got approved and is built on a known sinkhole. And we talk about cleaning up stuff. We've got the Fox River Valley paper mill cleanup of the waterways there. These CAFOs are owned frequently by big corporations that don't care.
Dina, I want to toss this over to Sarah. You know, Dina there sharing what is happening in Iowa. Sarah, what's your response?
Well, you know, our water quality issues in the state are, you know, not all that different than what Dina described. You know, we have had some significant water quality challenges, you know, with over 10% of our our private drinking water wells out there in rural areas being contaminated with nitrate above the, you know, health standard for nitrate. I can certainly appreciate the concerns that she brings forward, and it's definitely something that we're fighting against too. And, you know, that's one of the concerns certainly with this lawsuit as well. Our oversight system itself for the largest farms might not be perfect. It's what we have right now. And by removing it, taking it away, as would be the outcome if this lawsuit was successful, is obviously moving us in exactly the opposite direction. And one of the things that I can say about the CAFO permit process and program right now is that it provides DNR, the public, and the land conservation departments, who are even closer on the ground to them, with knowledge about what the operations are doing, how many animals they have, where they're storing it, et cetera, and provides an opportunity and an ability for them to go in and do inspections and do, you know, some manure application reviews and whatnot to make sure that they're being done properly. And oftentimes, and I think it's the case in Iowa and certainly is here in Wisconsin, that the DNR's CAFO program is just exceedingly understaffed to really be able to provide the kind of oversight that the program and I think, you know, the state and people like us intend and hope that it's able to do. So, you know, this lawsuit is a really big threat because it would obviously move us backwards. And that, you know, we want to be moving forward, providing more oversight and, you know, more ability to really understand what the farms are doing and make sure that they're complying with their permit requirements and not the other direction.
Let's go to Madeline now in De Pere. Madeline, hi, what's on your mind?
Well, I'd just like to say that these large farms with so many animals are not good for any of the creatures, not animal or human. The only creatures that benefit from these large farms are the Wall Street investors. And God never intended these animals to be caged up like that. They're not zoo animals. And they're supposed to be allowed to graze out in the open field and not be create such problems. And So I really hope that the people in Wisconsin will support politicians who insist that they limit the size of these animal farms.
Madeline, thank you. Sarah, are these animal farms getting bigger and bigger?
We have seen a lot of consolidation over the last 10 years. You know, we've seen a number of farms drop. However, the number of animals that we have in the state, especially when it comes to our dairy cows, has not changed. So what that means is that as smaller farms are going out of business for a multitude of reasons, the animals that they were housing are going to larger farms. So, you know, that is the case. Our CAFO numbers have been growing, but again, they're only 336 out of our over 6,000 plus farms in the state. And so, yes, there's a number of different ways that these farms can and could be operating, and including pasturing some of those animals and whatnot. But the CAFO model is there to, you know, it does allow, for good or bad, to have a really low cost way of producing animal products, in our case, often milk in our dairy industry. So while we see a lot of consolidation, we also see a lot of innovative farmers and a lot of beginning farmers coming in who do want to operate differently. And that's very encouraging.
Sarah Welling with us, Water and Agriculture Program Director at Clean Wisconsin. Sarah, what steps can animal farmers take to prevent polluting water?
I think, you know, their biggest tool is developing a nutrient management plan and working with conservation agronomists or technicians at the land conservation departments to really understand what the sensitive areas on their farms are and how to avoid any runoff, you know, that could be caused around those. So to the caller's point, where if there's sinkholes or where there's really steep slopes or where you're very close to our streams, rivers, and lakes, there are different ways that you can manage that manure to really reduce the risk. And a nutrient management plan is your first step in doing that assessment. And a lot more farms are really gravitating toward agricultural conservation efforts just like that and are working with agronomists and others to make that happen. And that's a really positive sign that agriculture is really taking in many ways control of and responsibility for what their operations are doing and want to leave their farms for their next generation to operate. And so groups like ours, but certainly many others across the state, as well as our state agencies, are working really hard to assist farms to achieve a high level of environmental sustainability. And, you know, we're happy to see that. So again, you know, lawsuits like this really impede that kind of progress and limit the conversation and ability to really highlight what all the farms are doing out there in our state right now to reduce their risk of environmental impacts.
How could Wisconsin's regulations of animal farms be strengthened? What would be a step forward that you see?
I think more requirements around who has to have nutrient management plans would be very important. And then really, I think a lot of it has to do with staffing and having that oversight and be able to go out and, you know, do some on-farm audits of what's going on and make sure that, you know, everything that's being described in the nutrient management plan and how the manure is intended to be stored and handled and applied is being done correctly. I think that level of oversight can really go a long way.
Sarah, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
Sarah Walling is Water and Agriculture Program Director at Clean Wisconsin. And you can check out our program page to find more conversations on this topic and others from the morning show. Visit WPR.org/mornings. This is a State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.